didn't come true. There's a difference for the believer who understands, and this is what I'm hoping we'll be able to close this year with, that there is the hand of God, but there is the heart of God. I want to say the hand of God and the heart of God. Now hear me, friends. A God is ever loving, always promised to be with us, and it's always going to stand by his word. But there are times when that promise don't seem real to us because of our circumstance. Some of you would have read this story. It's a legend now among believers. Some of you even have, I believe, the story framed in a picture on the wall in your homes. It's called the footprint story. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now the story goes like this in summary, that a man was in a dream. And while in that dream, he saw himself walking side by side with the Lord. And in the process of his walk, thunder will flash every now and then. And as the light from the thunder shone, he looked behind him and he saw the footprints of the Lord on the sand, and he saw his own footprint. And he continued in the journey, and every time when the thunder flashes, he saw the Lord's footprint and he saw his own footprint. But he got curious when he noticed that in some parts on that steps, there was only one set of footprints instead of two. So he went to the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't get this. I see you being with me on my journey in life, but I noticed that there were some times on this journey that there was only one set of footprints. And part of what I noticed was this, Lord, that those times when there was one set of footprint, they were the times when I had problems in my life. They were the times when I was sick. They were the times when I was going through a difficult situation. But Lord, you promised to be with me. How come those difficult stages of my life, you were not there?" And the Lord turned to him and he said to him, "My son, the time you saw the one set of footprints, those difficult stages of your life, those tough periods of your life, where you saw only one set of footprints, those times, I was the one carrying you. So when I carried you, the one set of footprints you saw was my footprint. I carried you through those difficult times. I carried you through those challenging times. I carried you through those sick times. I carried you through those times when you couldn't pray for yourself. I promise I will never leave you and I've never left you. I promise I will never abandon you and I've never abandoned you." Hear me, friends, this morning. We've come all the way to the end almost of 2019. Some of you might be like the person in this legend, that you're looking back this morning and going, "Lord, I thought by now this would have happened. I thought by now I would have been in this way. I thought by now I would have had this, I would have had that, I would have had that. But Lord, you promised that if I prayed, you will answer. How come? I'm here now. Those things haven't happened. Lord, are you truthful to your promise? Can your word be trusted? Can I still believe you for the remaining 2 days of the year? Lord, can I still trust you in the coming year? I step into 2020 standing on this word. Friends, the answer is a resounding yes. God can be trusted. God can be depended upon. God has never failed, and God would not fail you. Somebody, if you believe, you put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. See, the passage of scripture before us today is such a rich passage that I believe will help us to reflect before the praise and worship will come back, and for us to close this service off with a praise song. The scripture begins, those of you who have the book Bible, I mean like this one, you'll be able to catch it if you open to Psalm 107. Let me point your attention to something that was repeated over and over again. And as we break this down, verse number 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever." Amen, somebody. Verse number 8 says, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 15 says, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21 says, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." A little background study of that passage revealed that there's actually a song. And so the phrase or the sentence, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men," was the chorus. So when they sing, and they'll get to that point, the entire congregation will respond, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And they will sing again, and they'll get to that point, and everybody, I hope you respond at this time, "Oh, that man will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And the singers will sing again. And congregation, please respond. "Oh, that man will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Put your hands together, somebody. For the God who deserves to be praised, who deserves to be worshipped, who deserves to be glorified. Because in spite of your circumstances and my circumstances, God is good. God has been good, and God will yet be good. Depending on what some people's circumstances are, some are in a hurry for the year to end so they can move into a brand new year. About 2 or so days ago, they were announcing, I think it was actually yesterday, the 28th, they have this event in New York that takes place in Times Square. They call it the Good Riddance Day. I'm sure some of you heard that on the radio or on television, where you bring all the memories that you don't want to go into the year with, and you come and destroy them. Someone bring the pictures of their ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends and shred it. Some will bring all kinds of things, maybe their bills or their hospital, you know, report, and shred it. Whatever they thought was bad for them that they don't want to carry to the next year, they take it there. They do it every year on the 28th of December. They call it the Good Riddance Day, so that they can get rid of all the bad things, shred it, so that they can have a clean slate to enter a new year. Good idea. Great. It might be helpful somehow. But I believe that God's word has something better, something stronger, something more helpful. And it is for us to learn to be in the spirit of thankfulness, that we see beyond what God has not done, that we take our focus away from what has not happened. For we take our eyes away from the money we did not get, the job we did not get, the healing that did not come, the wife that didn't come, or this or that and that that did not happen. The songwriter says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and he says, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If the Lord has done something for you, put your hands together and bless his name. Bless the name of the Lord, the psalmist says, for he has done wonderful things. Let these few days remaining of the year be times of thanksgiving. Be periods that you lift up your hand and lift up your heart and give God thanks. Because whether or not you know it, whether or not you can put your finger on it, whether or not you can touch it, God is good. And everybody who can hear me say, God is good. I mean, we say this as believers over and over again. Sometimes we don't even think about it. But I want you to think about that as you say it. Everybody, let's say it one more time. God is good. The Bible says that God showed the children of Israel his acts, but he revealed his ways to Moses. Sometimes we're like the children of Israel that are looking for the acts of God, the mighty acts of God. But the one that goes closer to God is the one that knows and gets a chance to peep at the ways of God. And I'm praying this morning that as you look forward to the remaining few days of this month and jumping into a glorious 2020, that you will focus on the heart of God, that you focus on the ways of God, that we will not look at the things that God has not done, but we'll look at the things that God has done and be grateful. I'm going to get to the list in a moment, but I want you to hear this. Whatever you are thankful for multiplies. Okay, I know you heard me, so help me preach that to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, whatever you give thanks for, it increases. You see, when Jesus had in his hands in the story in John chapter 6, a little boy brought two fishes and five loaves of bread. There are no loaves of bread if you understand the background of that story. They were dinner rolls. Remember those dinner rolls that you buy from Costco or some other place? Some for bread? That's what it was. They were a small boy's lunch. Nobody gives a small boy five loaves of bread. Okay? So they were dinner rolls. 5,000 men were hungry. The women were not even counted. Children were not counted. Jesus holds that little meal in his hands and begins to give thanks. And as he gave thanks and gave it up, that small food multiplied and fed 5,000 people. And there were 12 baskets left over. The Lord will surprise you as you begin to give him thanks. Every little thing in your hand, as you lift it before God and give him thanks, he will multiply in the name of Jesus. Jesus shows up at the tomb of Lazarus. And they say, don't even go there because he's been dead and buried for 4 days. Read the scripture, John 11. The first thing Jesus did was to begin to give thanks. And if you were like me, I've been scratching my head. How can somebody be dead and you are giving thanks? But after Jesus finished giving thanks, the Bible says he called unto Lazarus. And he that was dead came back to life. I pray in the name of Jesus that as you continue to learn and give thanks, everything that is either dead or dying in your life will come back to life in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? Shout aloud, amen. That we learn that when we're giving thanks, we are in the place of surrender. In the place where we acknowledge the little that God has done. And God can show up and do the mighty works. How many of us are believing God for mighty works? How many of us are believing God for great things? Then we need to be men and women that appreciate the little, the small. Come on, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. What I want to do this morning quickly is point our attention to six things very quickly. And I'm using the one word, thanks, as in T-H-A-N-K-S. I believe that's how it's spelled. And I'm going to use every letter in that word quickly just to help us begin to thank God. We cannot name or list all the things we need to thank God for. So if you grab your note quickly, we'll go over that. Following the scriptures that we have. And I begin with the first letter. And as wonderful students, I know you will help me. What is the first letter that begins the word thanks, everybody? You see, you're wonderful students. Put your hands together for yourself. So the word is give thanks because of his good thoughts. Tell your neighbor, God has good thoughts towards you. No, some of us are not talking to somebody. This is a participatory sermon. Turn to somebody and say, friend, God has good thoughts towards you. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11 says this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. If you know that God has good thoughts towards you, if you believe that God has good thoughts towards you, shout a big thank you.
Thank you.
Come on, let's do it again. Shout a big thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you, Lord, for having good thoughts towards me. Friends, he has good thoughts towards you. Even if the devil is trying to tell you otherwise. You see, the thoughts in the hearts of God, the word of God says, I hope to give you a future and a hope. Some translation says to bring you to an expected end. It means that God has determined in his mind where he's taking you. Can you tell your neighbor for me? Say, neighbor, God is taking you somewhere. Come on, come on, come on. Act like you're preaching with pastor. Say, neighbor, God is taking you somewhere. You see, God has not brought you this far to abandon you. He has thought in his mind already where he's going to take you. So he won't get somewhere and start scratching his head. Oh, what do I do now? No. Before you showed up on the face of the earth, he has your life mapped out. If you believe that, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. So thank him for the thoughts that he has towards you. And he will always have good thoughts towards you. And class, what is our next letter? Good. Put your hands together for yourself. Yes. Letter H. Give him thanks because of his mighty hands, or his mighty hands delivers. Yes, God has a heart, but God also has a mighty hand that does great things. And I'm sure many of us can reflect this year and see the times when God showed up and we saw his mighty hands. Where he made provision, where he brought deliverance, where he brought healings, where he did something that no one else could have done but God. Amen, somebody. Amen. Verse number 20 of Jeremiah chapter 32 says this. Who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as it is this day. Verse number 21. That's where I'm going. Everybody read it with me. 1, 2, go. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror. Can somebody bless the name of the Lord for the miracles he did in your life this year? Can somebody say thank you? Can somebody say thank you, Lord? Think of one thing God did for you this year that nobody could have done for you. If you need a reminder, how about the breath that is coming in and out of your nostrils? Some of you have visited in a hospital. Some of you actually work in hospitals and in nursing homes. People have all kinds of stuff hooked in just to keep them doing what you're doing now that you're not even conscious of. When breath ceases, life ends. Many of you remember that our son had that experience in 2014, I think it was. Son plays basketball. He was in Oregon playing basketball. And he stepped out of the field after a practice. And all of a sudden, boom, passed out. And his heart stopped. Well, praise God, he's doing well today. He's playing professional basketball in Austria now at this speed. But hear me, friends. What's interesting was that after they brought him back to life and they started reading whatever the machine read, his heart only stopped for 1 second. And he died. So when we sit down, we breathe in and out. It doesn't look like it's anything. The doctor said to us when we were looking at it, he said, if not because of this record here, there is no scientific proof to confirm that anything happened to him. When the devil comes like a flood, Bible says God, like a flood, lifts up a standard against him. So friends, if you don't have anything to thank God for, the fact that you can breathe now, it's enough for you to put your hands together and shout, thank you, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hear me, friends. Let's learn to focus on giving thanks. The devil is so bad that it will blind our eyes against everything. I don't have that. I didn't get that. I'm not there yet. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and say, thank you, Lord. We have seen his mighty hands in several places. Psalm 95, verse number 3-5 says this, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Verse number 4. Let's read it together. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. Hold that verse there. I was doing a background study on that scripture. About what that means, the deep places and the difficult places. The time when you were like in the low, 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 low. And the hills, of course, are those times when you felt like you were up there and everything was going wonderfully well. But look at what the scripture says. His hands are in the deep places of the earth and the heights of the hills are his also. So wherever you've been this year, in the heights, in the lows, guess who was with you? Guess who was with you? Come on, say it loud for me. Guess who was with you? God was with you every time. For his hand that was upon your life, put your hands together and say, thank you, Jesus. So friends, God has been with you even in those low places. And he will never abandon you. Oh, did you preach that sermon yet? Okay, turn to your neighbor and preach that sermon. Say, neighbor, God will never abandon you. That's not the kind of God that we know. That's not the kind of God in the Bible. Amen, somebody. Give me the next letter quickly. What is the next letter that follows letter H? We're trying to spell thanks. Okay, like grade school kids would do. The letter A Give him thanks because he answers the prayers of his people. How many of you can testify that God answered your prayer this year? Might not have answered all of them, but he answered some. Put your hands together and say, thank you, Lord. Come on, put your hands together and say, thank you, Lord. That's what we came to do today, friends. To give him thanks for the prayers he answered. And get this. If he answers some prayers, he will answer all prayers. Amen. For my Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Why has he not answered the rest of them yet? I don't know. But he surely will answer. Amen, somebody. Verse number 2 and 3 of Jeremiah 33 says that, thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Give me the next verse. Verse number 3. Come on. Everybody read it now. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Tell me what God answers prayer. Come on, say it again with confidence. Say, God answers prayer. So this year, God answered your prayer. In the coming year, God will answer your prayer. Come on, if you believe it, shout aloud, amen. So for all the prayer that God answered this year, give him some praise. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. So he's a prayer answering God. And our next letter in our important word this morning is the letter what? Good student, good student. See, I like to be like you when I grow up. All right? The end says, give him thanks because he invites us to draw near. You see, there are so many things that we can give him thanks for. But almost all of the things that we're looking at today stands out to me. But this one is like at the top of the list. How can God, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Most Powerful One, invite somebody like me to draw near to him? Somebody say, awesome. You see, there are some people that even if you had the money to pay, you cannot belong to their club. In fact, some of them, if they could, they won't even want you to buy a house next to them, even if you could pay for the house. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Because in their mind, you don't belong to their class. But when you are in God, friends, you belong to every class. Somebody need to bless the name of the Lord. That God himself invites us to draw near. In Hebrews chapter number 10, beginning from the 21st verse, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. I'm going to verse number 22. Now look at what 22 says. Everybody read it now. Say, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. So it's an invitation, friends. And I believe that I'm speaking to many people today who are saved, who have drawn near to God. For God allowing you to draw near to him, can you shout a big thank you, Lord? Come on, let's do it again. A big thank you, Lord, that you allow me to draw near to you. I'm also looking at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. It's a passage of scripture that we know very well. Chapter 5, verse number 17. Everybody read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the letter N also reminds me of new, being a new creation. All things passing away. If all things have passed away in your life, can you put your hands together and say, thank you, Jesus. Nobody could have changed some of us. I don't know what your story is, but I know what my story was. That today we can sit next to each other. We can call each other family. We can believe and trust each other. Without a new heart, some of us will not be able to do that. Back in the days where I came from, in the place where I came from, there's some people that will give you food and your parents will say, don't eat it. No matter how good that food is, my mom was so good in how she talked. She would look at you like this and turn her face somewhere. And if you're smart, you know exactly what mommy has said. You're hungry, don't touch that food. You know why? Because we don't trust our family. Yes. Amen. Amen. But today, I don't know you from Adam. You don't know me from Adam. But we can share food. Amen. We can share clothes. Why? Because our heart has been changed. If you've been changed, put your hands together and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because it's the one that brings newness and transformation. And if you are here today and you have not been changed yet, you're in the right place. Amen, somebody. Amen. Today can be your day of change. The day that your newness begins from the inside. The day that you become a new person. And friends, it's only new people that are going to go to heaven. Oh, did you just say that? Yes, I did. And that's what the Bible says. If you are not new, you are not going to heaven. So if you are in church today, and Jesus has not changed your heart, he has not come in yet. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not true in your life. You are in the right place. And what a better day to do it than the last Sunday of the month. So that you can enter the new year a new person. Amen, somebody. Amen. That Jesus touches you and transforms you. Some of you have brothers and sisters and children and grandchildren and family members who needs that transformation. What a day to pray for them. What a day to ask God to bring that newness from the inside. Because when that newness begins on the inside, the outside person becomes a different person. Somebody put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Give me the next verse. I didn't ask us to move here. Give me verse number 18. We'll read that together and move on to the next point quickly. Verse 18. Everybody reading. Let's go. No. Verse 18. Okay, we're there now. Everybody, let's go. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So what that says is that if you are new on the inside, it is your responsibility and privilege. It is my responsibility and privilege to stay reconciled and then bring others in, which means that believers should not be fighting. Did I say that or the Bible said it? No, look at it very well. It said, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through who? Through Christ. And has given us what? The ministry of? How can you be fighting and go and tell somebody else to stop fighting? Does it make sense? How can you be angry and go tell somebody else you stop being angry now? But you're an angry person. How can everybody have to walk on eggshell around you? But you can go and preach that to somebody else. It ends today in the name of Jesus. Newness must show in how you live. I hear people say, that's how I am. I hear that. That's how I was too. But if you're new in Christ, your story must
change.
You said it, I didn't say that part. Okay. Now, but you hear me though. That's what the word of God is saying, friends. Amen. When things are new, they are new. You forgive, you forget. If there is a disagreement, if there is a hurt, guess what you do? You sit down and settle it.
That's right.
Because anger will not let you get into heaven.
Amen.
Read the scripture. It's there. So this last Sunday of the month, There's no better day to cast away anger and frustration and pain. The devil wants you to look at everybody as your enemy. You know what I've always said? I've taught you this before. We all have one enemy. Can you repeat that with me? Turn to your neighbor for me. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. We all have one enemy. His name is the devil. That's it. Your neighbor is not your enemy. Your church members are not your enemy. The devil wants us to fight each other. Don't talk to each other. Don't pray for one another. Don't share nothing. And the devil is going there having a party. In the name of Jesus, the party of the devil ends today. In Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Quickly now, give me the next letter. We're almost done. Where are we? Where are we? After the letter N, what comes next? You see how good you are as students. So the letter K says, give him thanks because he knows. Awesome God, there's nothing that he doesn't know. Psalm 46. I love this. I love this. Verse number 9 through 11 says, he maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots with fire. So war should cease in the church. But I love the next verse. That's why I use this one. Verse number 10. Everybody, let's read this together quickly. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Let's read it one more time. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now hear me, what God's word is saying is that there are times when you don't need to fight. Can you preach that to your neighbor from say, neighbor? Some of the fights you are in, you don't need to be there. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show her. Just calm down. Just calm down. Look at what it says. It says, if you want to see how strong I am, you have to be still. So you cannot be fighting and expect me to jump in a fight. This is not a gang thing. You know how they do in the gang? Get everybody to jump somebody. God doesn't jump nobody. Say, if you are fighting, then I stay off. But if you want me to fight for you, if you want to see how great I am, you want to see how powerful I am, then you stop fighting. Stay calm. And say, God, that's your fight. You go do it. And I'm sure many of you have seen God intervene for you in some way this year. If God has intervened for you this year, can you put your hands together and bless his name? Can you magnify his name? That's what we're celebrating today. That God says, be still, hold your peace. I do the fighting. He has fought for us and he will yet fight for us. Amen. It also reminds me of Romans chapter number 11, verse number 33 to 34. I'm reading actually from the Amplified because it put it better for what I want to say. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and decisions, and unfathomable and untraceable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Tell your neighbor, God knows everything. Say, I know you know that. You're still talking to your neighbor. Say, I know you know that. But it's good to remember that. Amen, somebody. Say, his wisdom, his knowledge, no man can search it. So God knows exactly what he's doing. I think we're down to the last letter. What is the last letter for today? S. Come on, put your hands together, church. We're in letter S. It says, give him thanks because he commands us to sing. How come you're talking about that? I've learned, friends, that when you sing, I know some of you can sing on the stage. Some of us only sing in the bathroom. only make some joyfulness. You know what I'm saying? But when you do sing, when you do worship, when you praise, guess what? You release the army of God to go on your behalf. Look at what the scripture says quickly. Psalm 96.
Oh. Are we all ready?
Okay, good. Let's read one to go. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Let's keep going. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day. Next verse. Declare his glory among the nations. Wonders among all peoples. Next verse. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Next verse. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Can read the rest of it when you get home. Friends, as believers, God does not beg us to sing. He commands us to sing. He instructs us to sing. If God put a song in your mouth this year, can you shout a big thank you? If you can remember one thing that made you happy this year that you sang, can you shout a big thank you? Friends, singing and worshiping is one of the weapons that God gave us. And some of us didn't use it too well this year. But as we go into 2020, you will learn to use it. But what we're saying, friends, is that as we focus on these things and many more, we will move our eyes and our attention away from the things that God has, quote unquote, not done. And be able to begin to praise him and celebrate him for who he is. They will begin to appreciate his heart. Because God always has a reason behind everything he does. If God has been good to you, can you put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord? The final scripture that I want to give before we start praising and praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Beginning from verse number 19, gives us 5 specific instructions. That's why I want to close with that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 15 to 19. Verse 15, go back to 15. Look at what it says. Everybody read it now. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Stop right there. We're closing now. This is final instruction on the things we need to be praising and thanking God for, what we need to be focusing on. Now, this scripture here is giving us specific instruction. You want to get into 2020 as a different person? If you forget everything that I have said, I know you haven't forgotten. But hold on to these 5 things. The first is what? See that no one renders evil for evil to how many people? Whoever has done you wrong, whoever you've been angry with, when does it end? No, okay, say it louder. When does it end?
Now.
Say it again. When does it end?
Now.
It ends now. I'll pay him back. I'll pay her back. I'll show her. I'll show him. No, you don't need to do that. Give me the next verse, verse 16. Let's move on quickly. Now, see, there's specific instruction. That's what I want you to hold on to. Is it what? Rejoice always. How many words is that? Just 2. Okay, let's read again, everybody. Okay, I want to hear you louder.
Rejoice always.
No, I can't hear you.
Rejoice always.
So when should you not rejoice? Did you get the scripture? They are commands, friends. They are instructions. Don't render evil for evil. Be a joyful person. Give me the next one. Give me the next one. Pray without. So when should you not pray? You see, there are things that the Bible clearly says we should do all the time. Don't hold any grudge against anybody. Always be rejoicing and don't stop praying. Are you still here? These are things that will help you now and help me and help us launch into 2020 as greater believers. Give me the next verse. I love this one. It said, in everything, give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In how many things?
Everything.
In how many things?
Everything.
In everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God won for you. Now sometimes when we read that, we don't understand it. I read it from a different translation. Verse 18. Just listen to what it says. This is Good News Translation. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ. Now, it's not that God wants you to rejoice when you are sick, when you are broke, and all of that stuff. That's not the part that he said this is what God wants from you. When you read these translations, that's what it looks like it's saying. But what God wants from you in all circumstances is the rejoicing, the giving thanks. Did you get it? That no matter what circumstances you are, don't let the devil take your praise. Don't let the devil take your singing. Don't let the devil stop you from praising God. Amen. So friends, learn to celebrate no matter what the circumstances. I heard on television, this about a few months ago, a little boy that was adopted, I think it was in Georgia, 10-year-old boy. And he started singing this song by Hezekiah Walker. As he was singing this song, what's the song? Well, there was one of the popular songs, Every Praise. No. I think that's the second one. What's the other one? No. We'll stay with Every Praise. But if you look it up, you'll find it. As he was singing that song, the person who adopted the 10-year-old said, stop singing that song. The boy refused. He kept singing, every praise belonged to God. And the man got so uncomfortable, he stopped and pushed him out of the car. This is somebody who was taking this boy to go and harm him. But because he refused to stop praising God, the man stopped and let him go. Hear me, friend. The scripture says, in everything, give thanks. Everybody read that again. In everything. Now read it one more time. In everything, give thanks. So don't look back. Let's read the final one, verse number 19, and we're ready to pray now. The last verse. Give me it quickly. Do not quench the spirit. There are specific instructions. Each of them can become a whole sermon, and I'm not preaching another sermon, and we're ready to pray now. Please get up. We're not praying, we're praising. So if you stand up, if you can, and put your hands together and just give God thanks. You don't even know what you're thanking God for, but just thank God. Just put your hands together and say that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's not saying something. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now you can add something to it. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your health. Thank you for food. Thank you for provision. Somebody need to be talking. I need to hear you pray, giving God thanks. You don't ask him for anything. Just thank him. Just bless his name. Just magnify him. Just give him thanks. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your preserving. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for keeping us as families. Thank you for keeping us as a church. We give you praise. We give you honor. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Praise as we continue today. We're ready to pray now and close. I said before, I want to say it again. If you are in this house today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no better day. There's no better time. There's no better hour. If you've been saved before, but you know that your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, friends, there's no better time to restore that relationship. We're praying now. Those of you who know where you are, you know that where you need to be, Please pray for those who are not saved. I want to pray for them right now. You are not saved. Your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. You want to invite Jesus into your heart this morning. I want to pray for you quickly where you are. If you raise your hand, I know that's you. I just want to pray for you quickly. So I want to invite Jesus into my heart. Saints, pray. This is an important moment. So I want to invite Jesus into my heart. And that's you. Please raise your hand where you are. And I'll pray for you right there. I want a new life. I want to be able to give thanks all the time. I want to have a deeper relationship with God. This is my final invitation. God doesn't force nobody. If you raise your hand, I know that you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time. Is there anybody that raising hand this morning? If you also know that you need to restore your relationship with God, your relationship is not where it needs to be, and you want to begin to serve God as you should, there's unforgiveness, there's anger, there's bitterness. But today you want God to take that away from you and restore you. That's you. Raise your hand also. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Put those hands down. Send two hands. Anybody else? It's important that you're coming to God honestly and plainly. Anyone else? Those of you who raised your hand in this last request, just stay where you are or put your right hand on your chest and begin to talk to God about those specific things. The things that you need to forgive somebody for, whoever you need to release, mention them by name and ask God to help you forgive and forget. Go ahead and talk to God about it. Say, today I'm releasing this person, I'm forgetting this, forgiving this person. Go ahead and say, yes, it might be hard, but say, God, give me the grace. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for your precious children. Everyone, Lord God, that need a touch, Lord God, to forgive and release whoever it is, Lord God Almighty, or move on from a hurt or from a pain or from an injustice. Whatever those situations are, because these ones have honestly and humbly come to you today. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the grace to forgive, the grace to release, the grace, Lord God Almighty, to reconcile, the grace, Lord God Almighty, to be released from the heart. Let that grace be released over them now. In the name of Jesus. And I break the chains of the stubbornness of the devil. What says, be still and know that I am the Lord. I pray that as they step out of the situations, you will step in and show yourself mighty. Do it and receive the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people shout aloud, amen. Come on, shout aloud, amen.